Acts 26. I want to give you a scattering here of two or three things to start this morning. 2 Kings 9, we can make do with just one verse here, I think. Jehu is about to be crowned as king, and a prophet is sent to inform him of that being the case. And when that prophet comes, by the hand of the Lord, this is what ensues. Look at verse 11. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his Lord, and one said unto him, "Is all well?" This strange fellow had come unto him and take him in a side room, and the guys are wondering what's going on. "Wherefore came," notice, "this mad fellow to thee?" And he said unto them, "You know the man and his communication." They said, "It is false. Tell us now." And he said, "Thus and thus spake he to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel." So, but they said, "Why came this mad fellow unto thee?" Notice Acts chapter 26 real fast. Acts chapter 26. Acts 26 and verse 24. In this case, Paul is before Agrippa. Festus steps forward to be the spokesman. And while Paul speaks, Festus resents some things that he says, and so he says thus. And verse 24, "And as he thus spake for himself," that's Paul, "Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad." And then one more. Look in John chapter 10. John 10. Then you can stay in John 10 for just a little while. John 10. And notice down in verse 20. "And many of them said," this is of the Lord Jesus Christ, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come here with these texts before us, and we consider some things that are said there. I pray, Lord, that you might give us clear minds this morning to be able to understand and comprehend. Father, a lot of us are tired because of all the goings on yesterday. I pray that you would bless. Father, help me to be able to be clear. We pray the gospel would be plain to all here who need it. Father, may we as well as Christians be clearly have things clearly as a bell rung for us this morning, that we might know what's expected of us. We pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, 2 Kings 9 and Acts 26 and John 10. You have three separate men there represented, of course. You have this prophet, you have Paul, and then you have Jesus Christ. All three of those men are declared by the world in those passages to be mad. That is, they're nuts, they're crazy. They're off their rocker. And that's a terribly easy accusation to make. Any five-year-old knows it's easier to call somebody names than it is to sit down and reason something out, right? Mark Twain, who is not necessarily a favorite of mine, but he said one time that in all matters of opinion, our adversaries are insane. So whoever disagrees with you is crazy. Because after all, you have to be right. Well, I want to just say that's something of the world's opinion. And in this passage, these passages in 2 Kings chapter 9, for instance, here's a prophet that comes forth to anoint by the hand of the Lord Jehu as king. The guy that comes is a prophet. He comes directly from God. He comes directly from the mouth of the Lord. He brings welcome news to Jehu. But those that stand around Jehu say, why did this mad fellow come? This guy's as crazy as a bug. What did he want? They immediately declared him crazy. In Acts 26, Paul stands and testifies of the truth of the gospel of his salvation. And this is Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. This is the guy that I believe wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Certainly 13. If you want to argue about Hebrews, well, fine. But I count it as 14. This guy is the guy that brought us the gospel as we know it. And I remind you, to the folks that are standing there, he was never crazy at all when he was killing Christians, when he was running around the countryside, town to town, forcing folks to rescind their commission to Jesus Christ. He was not crazy then. He wasn't crazy. He wasn't mad till he became a preacher. And finally, here in John chapter 10, You have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's said to be mad in verse 20. Many of them said he hath a devil and is mad. Not only was he mad, he was demon-possessed. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, the Bible says a disciple is not above his master, nor the servant his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more so you? Amen? And it's something that well ought to be considered by us, naturally, here in 2018, whatever it is. They don't call it mad anymore. They have long clinical names and put it on you and dump some pills down you and all those sort of things. And I'm not going to offend anybody, I hope, this morning by naming off names. So needless to say, they just don't call it being mad anymore. There's all kinds of clinical things they say. But I will say this. There are a couple of sobering things from the Bible to consider. And the first of all that you ought to consider is that there is such a thing as madness. There may be more mad people. I'm not talking about angry. I'm talking about crazy, mad people than you think. For instance, let me just read you this. Ecclesiastes 10 says, regarding a fool, that the beginning of his words is foolishness, but the end of talk of his talk is mischievous madness. Pretty hard words. In Jeremiah 50, it says that the people of the land are mad upon their idols. The idols have driven them crazy. In Jeremiah 51, with regard to Babylon and the nations having drunk of her wine, the Bible says that they are mad from having drunk that wine. And finally, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says that the Lord shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, the word mad is not in that verse, but delusion's pretty strong. You're not in your right mind when you're deluded, am I right? So, the Bible has some things to say about where madness comes from, and then there's something to be said for who it is that's mad. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. The Bible says that anybody that's under the control of the devil is mad. And if they're gone after the world, that's the devil's domain, and they're mad. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, that for various reasons, a long buildup, God did give them up to a reprobate mind. Somebody's not thinking right. Am I correct? Now, let me remind you of that these folks are experts. They think they're smart. They're intellectuals. They're scientists and psychologists, clinicians. They experiment, they test, they have millions and millions of dollars to do their research. What have they given us? What has the world given us? Evolution. Sodomy. Transgenderism. Environmentalism. Some genius in Hollywood gave us American Idol and all the other offshoots that came from that. Am I right? They've given us what? They've given us Twitter. So now we can tweet our friends to tell them what kind of nachos we had for supper. Like they're interested. They've given us movie and music idols. They've given us animal rights. They've given us... Now these are smart people. They've given us education so that our kids can't read or add anymore. They've given us hate speech legislation, psychiatry, psychology, pedophilia, narcissism. And, of course, there's a long, long list. Now, what I want you to remember is that's the same crowd that said Jesus was crazy, Paul was crazy, and the prophet that came to Jehu is crazy. Okay? They say those guys are crazy. Here's what I say. The title of this message is, I'd Rather Be Nuts. If the world offers what the world offers, and what I'm going to show you this morning is, and they do, and they call us nuts because of all that we are and what we believe and where we come from on things, I just want you to know, I'm going to show you some things this morning, and if they say that this is nuts, I'd rather be nuts. So look in John chapter 10 here for a moment again, if you will. John chapter 10. Going to need your Bible a little bit this morning. We're going to turn back and forth. John chapter 10, you notice in verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. We'll study those sayings in a second. And many of them said, "He hath a devil." This is Jesus Christ. "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear him? Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" So at least somebody had sense enough to reason. But to these folks, Jesus Christ was a nutcase. I mean, they looked at what he did, they looked at what he said, and they said, "This guy is mad, this guy's crazy." So let me just study this craziness for a second. What would elicit that from the world? The experts tell me that this must be crazy. Okay, fine. Really, the focus of it is verse 17. Jesus Christ speaking, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." He's saying, "I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep." He's talking about a sacrificial atonement, dying for his sheep, dying for sinners, dying to take their place, suffering for them, going to the grave for them, taking on sin, death, hell, and the devil for them, and rising victorious. The sacrificial atonement and the resurrection. And they say, it's crazy. I just want to say, if they say that's crazy, I need a little more crazy. Count me among the nuts, okay? I'd rather be nuts than what they have as compared to what Jesus Christ offers. Look here in this passage. Verse 7, "I am the door of the sheep." Man, folks, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way in. He's the way through. What else do you want? Here's a guy saying, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man," not just educated men, not just intellectual men, not just beautiful women, but any man, every man, "if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Well, who doesn't want that? If Jesus Christ is able to give me those things, if He died for my sins sacrificially, then rose from the dead that I might have not only life eternal, but more abundant life here, and He's crazy, count me among the crazies. Because I'd rather be nuts. I would remind you of what they consider sane. Let me remind you of what the world says is sane. Monkey men. We all came from monkeys of one sort or other. And before that, we came from something beneath them and then beneath them. And of course, it took 100 billion years, but much a little time. Now, that's what the experts have given us, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to say, survival of the fittest is something that the high up experts and intellectuals at the most expensive universities and colleges in this world believe and teach. They say that what we ought to do if we are going to be true to our heritage of evolution is be willing to kill each other. That's what survival of the fittest is. What should be wrong with me busting you up if I'm able? Or you busting me up if you're able? Nothing wrong with that if we're just animals, right? Your existence, say they, is entirely by chance. You are a statistical anomaly. All of us sit here are. Somewhere way back there, some nothing exploded into something and then became life somehow. And out of that life sprang one cell organisms, then two and three and four, etc., etc. And somewhere along the way, something crawled up on a piece of land. And then it evolved and took on this, that, and the other. And eventually there wound up being, ta-da, me. But it's all a statistical anomaly. You're just a chance. You're just a pin picked out of straw. It's an anomaly. You're offered what? What's the great hope? Oblivion and death. You just are born out of nothing for no reason. You live for no reason. And you die for no reason. And go off into oblivion. Oh, good. That makes my 70 years or so look pretty good. Huh? That's what they offer us, ladies and gentlemen. They offer us immorality or amorality, either one. Dogs aren't particularly moral, if you haven't noticed. If you have cats, and you'll let cats be cats, cats aren't particularly moral. You know why? Because they're brute beasts. They're animals. And so they say, we're animals. And because that's the case, we have every right to live like animals. We are able to descend into perversion step by step, and there be nobody to answer to for it. It, after all, is perfectly natural. They allow us utter hopelessness after our lives here. They give us nothing. There is no heaven. There is no existence. This existence is meaningless. We get together, we marry our wives because we love them, we have children and we love them, and we feed them and clothe them and make livings for them, and we love our neighbor and all those things, and it's all for nothing, because we're dying and don't exist anymore. See, folks, in the view of the world, the way the world teaches it, your cares and your tears, your wives, your family, your children, the tribulations, the trials that you go through, the blood that you shed, your losses, those hours that you spend at some juncture or other in your life, at a funeral home or at a graveside over somebody that you love, those children that are sick and you pray for them and look over them and take care of them, praying to God that they recover, all that counts for absolutely nothing. That means absolutely nothing. You might as well just have a fly get caught in a spider web. You might as well just have wild goats miscarry their young. That's all it means, unless you are what the Bible says that you are. Unless you have a God that cares. And I just want to say, if that's the best they have to offer me, and I can, with Jesus Christ, have a sacrificial atonement and a resurrection promised me, I'd rather be nuts. Count me among the nuts. I'm serious. Look in Luke chapter 6. Look in Luke chapter 6. The sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. I'll take that over what the world has to offer. I don't care what the world calls it. Look in that reminded me to say, you should quit worrying about what the world calls you. You should stop worrying about what the world calls what you believe. It doesn't matter what they call it. Look in Luke chapter 6, go down to verse 11. This is the Lord healing this man, and we'll touch that in a second. When he did this on the Sabbath day, notice in verse 10 that his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Now those men, those enemies, were filled with madness, but we know who they thought was crazy, right? It's pretty obvious. Well, this all begins, notice, back in verse 2. They ask a simple question. Luke chapter 6, verse 2. Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day, they ask the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're trying to trap him. It says there in verse 3 that having asked that question, now just notice the Lord's response to this. Man, I tell you what, folks, I mean, notice the ranting, raving, foaming at the mouth, lunatic answer that they got back. It's amazing they didn't call the paddy wagon in and put him in a straitjacket, because, I mean, this guy's acting nuts. Right? Oh, I don't know. Look in verse 3, and Jesus answering them said, have you not read look, have you not read your Bible? And he asked them, have they not read it? Have you not read so much as this, that what David did when himself was in hungered, and they which were with him? How they went into the house of God and did take and eat these the showbread, gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. I mean, you can tell that he is just foaming at the mouth, right? I mean, he's slinging snot and throwing stuff and beating them up and everything because he's just crazy. He's just a lunatic, right? Or was that the answer of a reasonable man? You know, the Bible says, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He asks no more. Come to me and my Bible, let's sit down and let's reason. And there's no foaming at the mouth. There's no ranting and raving and screaming and spitting and clawing. None of that happens. It's reasonable. And furthermore, it's not just reasonable, it's powerful. Look down in verse 6. That having passed, came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. There was a man whose right hand was withered. Scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. He knew their thoughts, said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose up and stood forth. And then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. I just have one question to ask you. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he did so. His hand was restored whole as the other, and they were filled with madness. Now, with a guy acting as crazy as Jesus Christ acted in this scene, who can blame them for thinking he's crazy? I mean, he's ranting and raving and screaming. I mean, he's plainly a lunatic. Send in the loony bin for him. Is that the scene? That's not the scene. Here's a man that's reasonable, and I mean, when it comes to healing this guy, he has all the power in the world. Now look, what do they tell us? What do they give us? They give us evolution. They give us animalism. They give us that. They give us sodomy. They give us an ever-progressing step downward from sodomy and pederasty and pedophilia into transgenderism and God knows what else. Personally, I will prophesy this morning. Bestiality is the next thing. Okay? It's not going to stop. It's just going to keep going on and on and on. That's what they offer us. They offer us yoga and Buddha and Islam and witchcraft and suicide bombers. They give us Hillary and Billary and Obama and other half-wit nutcases and expect us to accept those things as being right. They give us politics, pills, parties, lawyers, social reform, and government doing everything for everybody and controlling everything. That's supposed to be the answer. And they say, we're nuts. Here I have Jesus Christ reasoning and then with power forgiving my sins, going to a grave and rising from the dead, forgiving my sins when I ask him. And I'm supposed to go for their product because they say we're nuts. I'd rather be nuts. I would. I'll be on this side any day. I see what they have to offer. I see what they've done to theirs. I see what the world's done to its children. I see where they wind up. I see the kind of hospitals they go to. I see where they make some of their beds under railroad trestles and all sorts of things. I see the scars on their arms. I see the drugs in their eyes. I don't want what they have. I'd rather be among the crazies. If Jesus Christ is crazy, I'll take crazy. I'll take crazy. I'd rather be nuts. Look at Acts 12. Acts chapter 12. First of all, sacrifice and resurrection. Second of all, reason. Reason and power. Look in Acts 12. Acts chapter 12. Peter is arrested an angel comes and rescues him from his prison. Everybody actually is gathered round about a certain house, and they're praying for Peter. They think he's still in prison, and they're praying that he doesn't recant of the Lord's testimony. And it says down in verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I think they're praying for him. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." And she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. Now, it's kind of funny when you look at this, just the way it works. There's this knock at the door, and everybody else is praying. Rhoda comes to the door, and Peter speaks to the door. She doesn't see him. She just hears him. And she knows Peter's voice, and so she runs back in. She's so glad. She's so happy. She forgets to open the door. She runs back in to tell all those folks praying that, "Hey, Peter's out of jail. Peter's at the front door." They say, "You are nuts. You are just as crazy as a bedbug. Peter's in jail." I would point out to you here, and by the way, Peter's still standing there going, "Hello? I just got out of jail. Hello?" Wanting in, you know. But the lesson is that sometimes Christians think you're crazy. Those folks praying thought she was crazy, right? The other lesson is you got to be careful not to miss answered prayer while praying. Because they were praying. There's their answer at the door. They refused to hear, right? Now, that said, this passage specifies two things that got her called mad. Crazy. Just loony, as could be, by other Christians. She did two things. First of all, in verse 13, the damsel came to the door to hearken. You know what hearken is? It's to hear. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Rhoda heard a Peter's voice and knew it was him. She saw nothing. She was so glad she forgot to let him in. She didn't even open the door. There was no window glass. All she did was hearken. All she did was hear. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly where you live. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'll tell you what you've seen if you're like me. You ain't seen squat. You ain't seen nothing. I haven't seen anything that would have made me believe. I heard. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. The first thing that happened was that she hearkened. She heard. And having heard, that was all she needed. She didn't need to see to be glad. All she had to do was hear to be glad. It says down in verse 14, "And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness." She was so glad, so overwhelmed with it, that she forgot to open the door. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what your gladness factor is. I don't know what makes you glad. Maybe you're somebody that desires with a deep and an abundant desire to see, thinking that that's going to make you glad. I'll tell you what will make you glad. Hearing. Hearkening. He that heareth my word, right? Bible says that the way that you get faith is by hearing. That through that hearing you get joy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Rhoda, by hearkening and gladness, the Christians around her called her crazy. Well, if I don't know what makes you happy. I leave here. There's no place that I'm gladder to be than here with y'all. I think the Lord's here a lot of times, and I enjoy being here with y'all. I enjoy coming and hearkening. I enjoy coming and hearing. I get joy being here. She hearkened and was glad. That's kind of funny, isn't it? Because the world is out to tear down everything that we're talking about here this morning. No morals. They don't want marriage. If they want marriage, they want gay marriage. They want things just as queer and weird and absolutely as ungodly as it's possible to get. God didn't create There is no God. There is no right. There is no wrong. There is no true up and down. There is no right and left. There's just gray, gray, gray. Everything's all right so long as you don't hurt somebody else and all this sort of stuff, right? They tear down everything that we stand for with the Bible, thinking that somehow that is the road to happiness. And yet, they're never glad. They're never satisfied. It's never enough. It's not enough to slash one bunch of Christians. They have to go slash somebody else. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the best the world has to offer is to tear down the Bible, and then they're still mad. They call us crazy, but ladies and gentlemen, I'll take my part with the crazies. I'll stand with Rhoda right now, knowing the treasures that I have in this earthen vessel, knowing the promises that I have from this book, having never seen Jesus Christ with my eyes, having never made a trip to heaven like Paul got a chance to do. I've seen none of those things. I've experienced none of those things. I have it all by promise. I've hearkened, and I'm satisfied to have hearkened and to be walking by faith. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take my lot with the crazies. I'll just stay among the nutcases, if you don't mind. Because what I see that they offer out there is absolutely, completely bonkers. Do you remember what it was like in the world? Do you remember what it was like when there were no answers? Do you remember what it was like stumbling around and busting yourself up at every turn? Do you remember what it was like being addicted? Do you remember what it was like when nothing could fulfill that thing in you that was longing for something? You didn't even know what the something was. Do you remember what that was like? Well, I lived that as a saved person. I remember what that was like. I've been down the road a ways. I saw that the world doesn't offer gladness and joy. Tell you what I'll take. I'll take my lot among the nutcases over here. Jesus Christ was called a nut, and Paul was called a nut, and poor little Rhoda, somebody just as pure as the wind-driven snow, hears a guy's voice, knows full well it's him, is so glad she runs back in and tells without opening the door. And they say, "You are crazy." The Christian said, "You are nuts." I'll take my lot with the nuts. Let's look at something else, if you don't mind. Look at Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. Acts 26. Paul once again stands before Agrippa, and Festus is answering at this juncture for Agrippa. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." You are as crazy as you can be. And it's interesting here that Festus said that, but King Agrippa said nothing, isn't it? What did Paul have here? Notice what he's talking about. Go back to verse 25. And he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Paul says, "I'm not crazy. I have the truth." Look, if you will, back to verse 17. This was the commission that Paul said he got from the Lord, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to do what? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God." He said, "I've been given the truth. I've been given light to give to somebody." Look in verse 22. He said, "Having therefore," verse 22, "obtained help of God, I continue to this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which were the prophets and Moses did say should come." Talking about, I'm giving them the prophets and Moses. I'm giving them the Bible. He said, "I have the truth." And it's not just the truth. Look in verse 16. It's a commission. Paul is standing before the king. Paul is standing before the king and his henchmen with the truth and with a commission. Verse 16, this is what Paul heard in his ear from the Lord. He said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Look in verse 19. Paul was given a commission. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not obedient, disobedient rather, unto the heavenly vision. Paul got a vision. He got a commission. Verse 22 again. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He was given a commission. Now, if you ever decide to look at the world with a little concern about whether maybe they've got something better than you, I'll ask you this. What kind of commission does the world have? What is the world's commission? What is the great mandate for living that the world has? What is the noble purpose? What's the mandate in life? They have nothing. They've given us transgenderism. They've given our children nothing but perversion for the last 20 years. They've given us evolution. They've given us drugs. They've given us pills. They've given us clinical names that we can put on ourselves and consider ourselves sick for the rest of our lives and take pills. They've given us nothing. They have no mandate. They ought to prove there's no God. They ought to prove there's no judgment. They ought to prove there's nothing. No heaven, no hell. There's just nothing. Some mandate in life. I tell you what, I have a lot more to live for than they do. Man, ladies and gentlemen, I have a Savior to live for every day, whether I'm happy or not. I just want to say that if that's crazy, if living for Jesus Christ is crazy, and waiting earnestly waiting until He comes back to get me, to take me to heaven, if that's crazy, if trying to affect people for the truth is crazy, if trying to get somebody saved is crazy, I'll take crazy. I will take my place among the nuts. I'd rather be nuts than to have what they have. If they call us nuts, it's fine by me. I'd like to say just one other thing. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Notice down in verse 23. Now this is the context of tongues. In the Corinthian church, you know, they had problem with that and all those things. And Paul kind of comes to this. I'm going to be short here without going into the whole depths of it. Verse 23. If therefore, the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues. I mean, if you walk into a place, a church, and everybody in the whole place, it's a three-ring circus, everybody's talking in a different tongue, running around with their hair on fire, right? He said if you go in like that, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Well, so if an unbeliever walks into a place where everything's going nuts, everybody's talking a different tongue, they go, this place is nuts, right? Well, he was saying that, admonishing them that what you should be doing instead is prophesying, preaching in the language in which those people can understand, right? Well, I would point out to you today that people now consider that nuts. Some of your families think you are crazy for coming here. I mean, you come here three times on Sunday, some of you, and then once on Wednesday. And then when we have special meetings, you're here Thursday through Sunday. You are I mean, you are over the top, really crazy as a bunch of bed bugs. I shouldn't mention bed bugs, but because my wife's the Willies. But I asked you what they offer. We offer preaching. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. The Bible says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. People say, what do you have to offer us at your church? Preaching and singing. and fellowship around the Bible and singing. And then we sing some more, and then we preach. Pretty much preaching and singing. Well, what kind of programs do you have? Bible. Preaching, you know. Say, so you guys are nuts. Well, yeah, I guess. But what do they have to give you? Politicians. They talk and they talk and they talk. And they talk and they talk and they talk and they talk. And they talk 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 and talk. They have talk show hosts who make their living talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And you can pick your own brand. You can pick left, right, in between, up, a tree, whatever. But they talk and 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 they talk. And then they're congressmen and they debate and they talk and they talk. They talk and talk and talk and talk. Then they want to get reelected and they talk and talk and talk and talk. Everybody just talks. Hitler stands up and talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. And the newsmen pontificate and go on and on and on and on. They're just talking heads floating above a desk. They just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. It doesn't have to be true. They just talk, talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. The Pope, well, he wheezes and rambles and talks and talks and talks. And then the feminists, well, they kind of squeal. But they talk and they talk. The sodomites, they whine. And the Muslims rant and rave and foam at the mouth and explode backpacks and stuff. But they talk pretty good. They talk and they talk and they talk and they talk. Environmentalists scream bloody murder every time an owl gets killed by a truck. Kill the owls. Scientists stand before their classrooms droning on and on and on and on and on and on and on about billions of years ago and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. The psychiatrists share and cope and stuff like that. Animal rights people speak for the animals. The world is just filled with voices, just talking and talking and talking and talking. And we're supposed to think they have the truth. We're supposed to think that they are the ones that are wise. They've lied continually. Science doesn't continue along a single spectrum. It keeps changing back and forth. I mean, coffee's either going to kill you or it's going to be health food for you, depending on which week you check in. I mean, it's ridiculous. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? Well, they call us crazy because people like me stand up, turn a little red in the face, and I don't know if I have veins or not, but sometimes guys get worked up and they have veins that stick out and stuff. And they go, oh, there's a nut. There's a nut. And then you turn on CNN and you have a guy going, you go, boy, at least my nut has something to say. That guy has nothing to say. I tell you what, they say we're crazy. Well, I'd rather be nuts. I'd rather be nuts than to be what you are, if you're the world. I'd rather have the answers that I have from the ultimate nutcase, the Lord Jesus Christ, than to have the answers that you do. Now, I've tried to make light of this morning, and I hope that you haven't taken any of you offense at that. Because there could be somebody here that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. And I want to tell you something. This is all in seriousness. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. There's nothing funny about it. You talk about madness in a place. That place will indeed be mad. Folks will be completely crazy. They weep and wail and gnash their teeth because there's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to do with their torment but suffer it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ came to this world as the answer, as the light, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. He came and died for your sins and for mine to offer us the truth, The devil has this entire world deceived. You don't always see the devil's tail. You don't always see the cape as he swirls away, but that work out there is the devil's work. I'm not talking about the trees. I'm not talking about the rivers. I'm not talking about the mountains. I'm talking about how men think. I'm talking about what is passed on to your children in college and high school. I'm talking about what comes across the news media outlets. My point is, the real truth is here. The real truth resides in Jesus Christ and His book. And I wonder if you've ever really turned and really given it proper consideration. You'll be called crazy. We all have been. But I want you to know, I'll take this crazy any day. I mean, I would rather be nuts than have what they have out there. I mean that fully. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer.